Welcome to Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here is the latest sermon in our current teaching series, All Kinds of Prayer.
It would be so great if today we would be reminded of something or learn something that would help us to think about our lives more rightly. If there's something that could help us to actually not only see you for who you are, but see us for who we are, that would be so great, God. And so I pray that somehow through my feeble words, somehow through your living and inspired words, that somehow with the congregation, the community, as we come together, that you would help us to have meaningful, useful, helpful experience in these coming minutes. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, I want to just start today with a question that seems deceptively simple. It's a question that I think is more profound than you might think just on first look. And because of that, I want to restate it and just add one word. The question is, what do you need? And the restatement is, what do you really need? Because it seems like a simple question. If you walk to somebody, if you talk to somebody and say, what do you think you need for life? If you really sat down in a group and that question was asked, you'd find yourself saying, that's a bigger question than it seems. Because what do I actually need is sort of asking me to get to the very core of who I am, isn't it? Not only just the who I am, but what is this world I'm in? What is this purpose for being here? Because if I don't know what the world is or why it's here or who I am, how would I know what I need? But don't we go through our lives a lot not asking those deep questions, but constantly feeling like we need stuff? Yes? Do you think that sometimes we feel like we need something when, in fact, we may not actually need it? Hello? Yes, you think that happens? Have you ever been in a situation where you, for years maybe, thought, I need this. This is what I need. And then you get it, and you find out, I must need something else. Have you? I have. Because I think so much of our life is spent with other people telling us what we need. Or circumstances making us feel like this is what we need. Or emotions driving us. And we get confused between our wants. We get confused between how we're manipulated. We get confused by our feelings. Right? And so when you think about it, what do you need? What do you really actually need to be fulfilled, healthy, to be what you were meant to be? What do you? That's actually a really good question. And it gets right to the heart of everything we are and everything we do and everything we pursue. There's a television show on AMC. It's an award-winning television show. Beautifully shot, pretty well written, depressing as all get out, and yet like a train wreck, I can't stop looking. It's not even something I would recommend anybody watching, but it's a show called Mad Men. And when I was a kid, there was a show called Peyton Place, which was not allowed in our house because these people were nuts and they were mess. It was like this soap opera kind of living, right? Well, Mad Men is that times 100 shot in gorgeous cinematography. And one of the reasons I can't stop watching it is that I was in the 60s and it's just fun to see offices and clothing and cars. It's a little bit of a flashback when I watch it. But as I watch it, I think these people are way more screwed up than the people in the 60s in Norfolk, Nebraska, where I grew up. And I think that's probably true. I think there's a good chance that people on Madison Avenue in the 60s in New York were a little bit more messed up than people in a town of 20,000 in rural Nebraska. I'm sure we have some of the same problems, but, you know, it's New York. They get messed up in a big way. And the thing I say about the show being depressing is this. Everybody in the show, everybody, every single character in the show is subverting their own happiness because they don't know what they need. They totally subvert their happiness because they don't even know what life's about. And as with just sort of a poetic underscore to the whole problem, not only do they not know what life's about, the main workplace in the story is a advertising agency where people are coming up with slogans to make people think they need stuff they don't need. You know, and it's really a poetic thing. And so, you know, watching it from an entertainment point of view, I would say it's kind of bankrupt. But somehow the pastor in me watches that and grieves over that because I think this is what our world's made up of. People who don't know what they need. People who don't know what life's about. People don't know why they're here. And so they're just shoved around by their circumstances or whatever candy is hanging in front of them. Or their fears. Not their needs. And I was watching an episode of this show, and there was this soliloquy moment in the fourth season where Don Draper, the main character, has pretty much wrecked his life 10 times over. And he's having this thoughtful soliloquy moment where, you know, where he's sitting in the apartment staring at a window or at a table, and you hear the voice, you hear his voice, and you see him writing, and so you get to hear what he's thinking. And this is what he says. When I heard it, I thought, oh, I got to write that down. And this is what he said. There's a typo in here. I repeated a word. I'm sorry. But what he says is this. He says, he's thinking about his life and the train wreck his life is. And he says, we're flawed. He means humanity. He says, we're flawed because we want so much more. Then there's this long pause. And he says, we're ruined because we get these things and wish for what we had. Wow. You know what that tells you? That even in a dump yard, if you look hard enough, there's something you should write down. I mean, isn't that true? What he's saying is, I'm realizing I don't even know what I need. I always want something, but I don't know what I need. And then I get what I want, and I find out that what I wanted isn't really going to meet my need. And I look back to what I had. And you know what? The reason I'm taking so much time on this is, here's my thought. How can you and I live our lives if we don't know what we need? And here we are preaching a sermon series on prayer. How would we even begin to know what to pray for if we don't even know what we need? That's why I think we might want to look in the prayer Jesus gave us. Because when Jesus' disciples said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Are you with me here? Jesus, teach us how to pray. I'm guessing that Jesus said, I'm going to teach you to pray for some stuff you actually need. Does that make sense? I'm assuming that though I might be confused about what I need, that God knows what I need. I'm assuming that though I might not know what I need, Jesus, if he's teaching me how to pray, he's going to teach me to pray in a way that actually mentions real stuff I actually need. So let's look at what he says. He says, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You've heard that before. We've talked about it already in this series. But today we're holding it up and saying, what does this little prayer teach me about what I actually need? Okay? And here's some ideas for you. First of all, I need to see the world from God's point of view. So if I'm going to actually pray a prayer that's meaningful, I come humbly and saying, God, I don't even know what I need. I don't even know what the world needs. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is. That's an appeal to say, God, somehow help me start seeing the world from your angle. I bet you need that. Don't you? Do you think that that's something that Jesus is right about, that we could all do with more insight into what God wants in the world? So one thing I should, if I'm going to pray for myself, I should be praying, God, I need to know how to see the world from your point of view. That's a real thing to pray for. Jesus says, pray for your daily bread. And even that's complicated for us, isn't it? Because we don't just have daily bread. I mean, daily bread doesn't sound luxurious, does it? I mean, daily bread doesn't sound like you're just getting by, does it? I mean, it does sound like you're just getting by. It doesn't sound like, you know, you're asking for something extravagant, does it? Our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. That's a hard thing to say for most of you. Because you've got your daily bread, your daily cheeseburger, your daily pizza, your daily, you name it, your daily two or three cars in the driveway, your daily nice house, your daily big screen TV, right? You have a lot more than your daily bread, right? So maybe, you know, we could say, well, Jesus, I don't need to pray that anymore because I got way more than my daily bread. No, maybe what we should be doing is saying, like, what do I really need? In other words, when you pray for your daily bread, even say daily bread, you should say, I got more than that. And if you're seeing things from God's point of view and you're praying for daily bread, you're thinking, you know, maybe I have more than I need. Maybe some of this stuff is a distraction to me. Maybe I should think of somebody else's needs. Right? So you're saying, God, I need to have your perspective. And I need to have perspective about what I actually need. Because a lot of the stuff I'm praying for, I don't really need. Debts and debtors, our relationship with God, our relationship with others, weaknesses, our desire to live a life of holiness, right? Lead us away from temptation, deliver us from evil, right? Did you know that that's something you actually need? Why do we spend so much time praying for stuff and circumstances and not very much time saying, show me where I'm sinning? Show me the ways I am shooting myself in the foot. Show me my entanglements. Show me the danger zones of my life, O God, so that you can lead me out of them. That's something you actually need. And just like last week I said, so many times when we think about praying for the church and praying for our Christian community, if we say, does anyone have a prayer request? We somehow jump into tunnel vision mode and like, yes, I know some sick people and others with problems. And remember last week I showed you there's so many other things to be praying for. There's all kinds of prayer. Same thing with you and me. We're saying, Lord, I have needs. What needs? You need more than just to be able to make a house payment. You need more than just your daily bread. You need eyes to see the world a certain way. You need a reason for living. There's so much you need. And you should be praying not just this tiny little tunnel vision prayers for yourself. You should be praying all kinds of prayers. Because you have all kinds of needs. And brothers and sisters and friends and family and neighbors, let me suggest to you, most of us are not even praying for a majority of the things we need, truly need. And so I'm going to help you this morning by thinking about true needs. Now, as we lift up our real needs to the Lord, a couple of things to keep in mind from the scripture. One is that God will strengthen us as we think about our needs. Psalm 94 is a psalm I would encourage you to pray and you know, keep a bookmark in there, because when you're feeling overwhelmed, sometimes when you start looking at the real needs of your life, you get overwhelmed. Psalm 94 is written from a spirit of, I am overwhelmed. the psalmist could say, Dear Lord, today in my song, I would like to sing about 50 ways I could be crushed. That's kind of what the psalm's like. And he says, he gets down to verse 17, he says, unless the Lord had given me help, I soon would have dwelt in the silence of death. He said, when I said, my foot is slipping. And that's Old Testament poetry for, ah! That's an Old Testament way of saying, when I said, I can't do this anymore. Have ever gone through your mind? I can't handle this. I'm falling apart. The psalmist says, when I said, my foot is slipping, your unfailing love supported me. This is the thing, is when we start really praying about real needs, the scriptures give us the hope that God actually wants to support us and hold us if we bring him those real needs. He says, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. When I was stressed out, when I remembered you will help me, that helped. Another thing to remember as we pray for real needs is that the scriptures tell us that God can give us peace even as we face these real needs. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter writes, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. And we've talked about humbling ourselves that God might lift us up, okay? But then he says, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Because why should I cast my anxiety on him? Because he cares. Oh, you're persuadable. I know that you care. That's a biblical idea, that God actually cares. And, you know, when Peter wrote this, and when the translators translated it, they had no idea that a bunch of Minnesotans would read it. And when we see the word cast, a certain picture comes to mind, a beautiful picture of me in a little Lund boat on Lake Johanna, casting. And so we don't get the right understanding. It's not like throw your cares at God. The word in the Greek is a more agricultural, it's a farm word. It means like saddle. Take your load and burden God with it. He'll help carry the load. It's a beast of burden phrase. So I need peace. I need help. The scriptures tell me I can have it. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, instead of being all stressed out about everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's a good promise. Because when I start really praying about the real stuff that I really need, my character, my role in the world, my purpose, my life, my relationships, I can get overwhelmed. Sometimes I lay down and I put my head on the pillow, but my brain keeps going because I can think of ways to fail. And I can think of things to be afraid of, right? And even if my head's going, it'll be okay, trust in the Lord, remember that Bible verse, my head sometimes gets it right, but my heart still goes, gung, 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 you know? You know, I'm thinking right, but I can't breathe, you know? It's good for me to know that when I come to the Lord, that there's some peace for my heart and my mind. And it's a peace I can't explain to you because I can't understand it. It transcends understanding. The idea is once God's in the mix, it's going to transcend understanding. Once God's in the mix, it's not just the facts of your circumstances, it's the fact of your God. And that's hard to get your head around. And so you learn to trust Him when you pray about real things. And of course, we all need a living, right? I mean, we got bills to pay. The most modest life we can live still requires some responsibility, right? And Paul, when he talks to the Philippians, he tells them, he says, my God will supply all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That's a promise from the Apostle Paul saying God knows what you actually need and He's going to make sure you get it. Now, we should point out that Paul wrote this from prison. And it was a different prison situation than you might be used to. Paul's prison charged rent and you had to buy your own groceries. And so Paul would have died in prison if some other Christians hadn't sent him a nice gift to buy some groceries and to pay the rent. And when Paul received that gift from God's people, he said, thank you so much. Thank you for being God's hands and feet in my life. And then he turns around and says, and rest assured, brothers and sisters, in the same way God's taking care of me right now, He'll supply all your needs. You see, there's this hope in God, but there's also this hope in God's people. Right? That verse wouldn't be there if some of God's people hadn't sent an offering to help somebody. So we have all these assurances and perspectives about praying about our real needs. Now I just want to share a prayer that just lifts up. Last week I gave you a prayer that lifted up the church and kept turning it around so we could look at all these different ways. Today I'm going to give you a new prayer that helps you lift up your own life in lots of different ways, okay? And I'm going to go really fast on this, so if you're trying to take notes, you might want to give up and ask me to just print it out for you later, okay? I can do that. I can send an email or just print it out for you. I've shared you some prayers of some great men and women of the church, and that's great. Today, I'm just going to share one of my own, okay? About 25 years ago, I was reading an article in Christianity Today about John Stott. John Stott he just passed away recently. He was one of the great teachers of the last 50, 60 years. And in fact, I mean, he was a guy. I mean, he's not, you know, perfect, but he was so steady and so scripture-based and so had so much integrity that even though I don't agree with him about everything, if you told me I was reading a book by John Stott, I would say, good choice. Because you're going to come out of any book with John Stott's name on it, you're going to come out of it closer to Jesus than before you went in. Okay? And I was reading this article, and the article started in a kind of an interesting way. It was sort of like a day in the life of John Stott. And the article said, this morning at 6:30 a.m., John Stott sat up in bed, turned sideways, and on the edge of the bed, said this prayer. And it's a prayer he's prayed every day for the last 50 years. And that got my attention. Some of you went like that. That's what I did. And I thought, you know, there's real wisdom in that. That's a person and a practice worth copying. And so what I did was I thought, I wonder if I could come up with a prayer, if I worked on a prayer that I could pray every day that would help me hold up my real needs to God and help me see my real reason for being here and start seeing the world from God's point of view, if I had a prayer that could every day, at least for part of every day, make me say, think about what you really need, Dave. Think about what you really need. That would be good for me. So I gathered some ideas from other people's prayers and I started putting them together. And this is what I've been praying now every day for years, like 20 plus years. God, help me to live for you and through you this day in thought, word, and deed. Help me to turn away from what is wrong and to do what is right. Help me to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. Lead me away from temptation. Deliver me from evil. Provide for my needs today. Protect me from discouragement. And encourage me by your Spirit through your word, your people, your promises, and all that is beautiful and true. Help me to be a good steward of all you've given to me. Grant me the wisdom and the will to guard my heart, to feed my spirit, to stimulate my mind, to care for my body. By the power and grace of your Holy Spirit, lead, teach, transform, shape, and strengthen me, that I might delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Help me through faith to do the good things you prepared in advance for me to do, to be faithful, fruitful, and effective as your servant, as a husband, as a father, as a brother, as a son, as a friend, as a neighbor, as a pastor, as a colleague, as a stranger, as an enemy. I kept adding words to that because I started realizing that all my relationships need to be God-shaped. And I don't go looking for enemies. I don't go looking for people that don't like me. But the fact is that even if you're an enemy in somebody else's eyes, you need to be a Jesus-shaped enemy. That's the truth. If somebody sees you as something bad or something they oppose, Jesus says, when somebody thinks of you that way, be shaped by me. You be a Jesus-shaped enemy. And I pray all this through Jesus Christ, my Lord. That's my boss. Jesus Christ, my boss, who lives and reigns with God and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Now, that's a mouthful, but I've prayed it enough that I could pray that. I pray that every day without looking. I was looking a little bit here because I'm afraid that I've gotten it wrong, that I've added and tweaked it a little bit since I wrote it. But I pretty much pray it like that every day. And you know what happens when I pray it every day? Different parts light up. Like one day I'll be praying it and I'll just say, lead me away from temptation, and it'll light up. And the Lord will say, like the temptation I tried to lead you away from yesterday? That wasn't for you, Lord. Oh, you saw that? Yeah. You see what I mean? Or as a husband, father, back to father. Remember that fathering you did? Or remember that fathering you're going to be doing? I'm glad you brought that up today, Dave. Because I want you to do that for mine. You see what I mean? When you start praying all kinds of prayer for yourself, not just help me through this disaster, give me that toy, help me with that problem. When you start praying for who God's making you and why you're here, that's all kinds of prayer. That's what you really need. And I don't think we pray for what we really need enough. When I'm praying that prayer, I'm praying that I will understand my reason for living. When I pray that prayer, I'm praying that my heart and my righteousness are being shaped by God. I'm praying that my relationship with God would be growing and healthy. I'm praying that my relationships with you would be growing and healthy. I mean, God's hard to love because I can't see him. You're hard to love because I can. It's very tricky, this Christian stuff. But I'm praying about that. I'm holding it up to the light and saying, this is what I need, God. When I pray that prayer, I'm praying, God, I know I have weaknesses and temptations. Most of us don't want to think about that. And you know what we do? We sin. If you really don't want to sin, if you really want to grow, if you want to live with integrity, pray about what you're weak about. Spit it out. I'm a worrywart. I'm a gossip. You name it. I'm angry. I'm bitter. Pray about it. Don't pretend like it's not there. When I pray, I'm praying that my practical needs will be met. I'm praying that I will have a good morale and an attitude that helps me want to get out of bed. I don't know about you, but discouragement is tough. And so I pray, God, don't let the world make me so discouraged I get stopped. But at the same time, I have to pray, God, make me receptive to all the ways you could encourage me. Because, you know, I've noticed this about us. You know, somebody needs a friend. And so you go act friendly to them, and what do? I don't need you. He's like, holy moly. Yes, you do. Right? If somebody's down and you try to encourage them, and what do? Yeah, I'm fine. You're not fine. You know what I mean? When I say, Lord, encourage me, the next thing I pray is, Lord, make me receptive to encouragement. So that when I see something in the Word that should make me happy and should give me hope, let me receive that. When a friend says something that's right, that's good. When I remember a promise, that's good. When I see something in a poem or just a gorgeous sunset or whatever, anything beautiful and true, God, anything you could possibly use to stop me from being discouraged, I'm for it. I'm praying for wisdom. I'm praying that the things I want are the things God wants, my will. I'm praying for stewardship. I'm praying for my desire to mature and to be transformed. Do you want to be changed? Do you want to grow? Ask yourself, do you need to grow? Do you need to change? How often do you pray about it? Because it's not going to just happen. It's going to happen when we care enough to lift it up to the Lord. All kinds of prayer, all kinds of needs. My prayer helps me remember that I want to love what God loves. And it reminds me that I want my life to be an honor and testimony of what God's doing. And all that stuff, even as I show you that prayer, I humbly present it to you and say, I pray all that stuff because I need it all. I'm not good at any of it. But I pray it because I think it points me to what I truly need. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I think too many of us think we prayed for our needs and we just prayed for some stuff. And we didn't even mention any of our needs. Let's pray. Thank you, O God, for your promises, for your word. Thank you, O God, that you care. Thank you, O God, for your peace. Thank you for your willingness to bear our burdens with us. Blessed be you, O Lord, who daily bears our burdens. God, help us to know what we need so we could know who we are, so we could know why we're here, so we could know what you want It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Lord be with you.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcast and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do so, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around to find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note at podcast@valleycc.org.